Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Thank you for tuning into This Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line tonight my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Praise God. We thank God we're able to get back on the line. Blog Talk Radio is working good tonight. So we give God the glory for allowing us to be on one more time. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you'll bless us, that we'll be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G, when the show was starting, I was listening to that song, Love Somebody. I think I wrote that song like, I guess, 12 years ago. And just asked the question, you know, have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody, somebody like you? And it's true today that you know, we're here because of the love of God. And, you know, I believe it was John in the third chapter of John, verse 3:16, said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And it was an unconditional love that God had, and that through that unconditional love that we are here today, covered by the blood. We're here today because of God's love has kept us. We are here today because God's love continues to show us grace and show us mercy. And in spite of all the ups and downs of this world, we can count on the love of God. And I believe it was Paul who said, Dr. G, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So when I was listening to that song, it brought all those things to my memory that all these years, it's nothing but the love of God that has allowed us to continue to go on. So we're studying the book of Acts, and in the book of Acts, in the seventh chapter, We've been studying about Stephen. He was one of the men that were called by the apostles to serve the people. And, you know, going back and reviewing the lessons, you know, we see that in the early church, people were serving God by serving the people. And it seems that Stephen set the example of developing a relationship with God through faith and trusting God, that he was able to serve the people in spite of the people, in spite of
right.
the people that were in charge, in spite of the people that he was serving, because he had a relationship and he had faith in God, that no matter how others acted, that he could act and by faith and lean and depend on God and be able to deal with the situation, whether good, whether bad, whether up or down. And it's teaching, the early church is teaching us in the 21st century how to make it through, how to survive, how to thrive in the midst of adversity, in the midst of trouble, trials, tribulations, and in the midst of, you know, religious upheaval, political upheaval, family upheaval, social economic upheaval, all of these things that come along with life. Sheila G., our dad used to say, "Living business." To come
yep.
along with this living business,
living
but as
business.
Long as you're leaning and depending on God and having that relationship with God and walking by faith in God, you'll be able to make it through. And that's what Stephen was doing here, and what he was doing was he was rehearsing to the religious leaders of that time. You know, the things of God, the history of God, and how they were at odds with, you know, God and Jesus being the promised one, or being the Christ of God, the one that would save man from his sins, and they wanted to stone him, or they wanted to kill him because he was preaching to them that their hearts weren't right, that they didn't have the right mindset, and that they should have known better. And so because their hearts weren't right, because their minds weren't right, he, in this chapter 7, took them way back to Abraham for them to understand that they were outside the word of God, that they weren't lining up with the word of God, that they should have known that this was the promised one, that Jesus was the promised one, that he was the one that would come and that he would deliver on the covenant or the promise of God. And you have to have a strong relationship with God. You have to have a strong faith to be able to deal with people and the things of this world. And still serve God. And we left off in chapter 7 in verse 7. And I just want to go back to that real quick. Chapter 7 and verse 7. It says, "In the nation whom they shall be in bondage, I will judge," said God. "And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place." And that's in the King James. And then in the NIV it says, "But I will punish the nations they serve as slaves," God said, "and afterwards they will come out of that country and worship me in this place." And so here you see that God's people were going through a tough time. They were in slavery. They were in bondage. They had issues. But God took care of them. God delivered them. God dealt with their enemies. And God said that they should serve him and they should worship him. So we were talking about this. In spite of what you're going through, trust God that he's going to deal with it, that he's going to work it out. And while he's dealing with it and while he's working it out, operate in faith and
that's
serve
right.
and worship God where you're at. And I think the 21st century church has gotten away from, you know, serving and worshiping God and walking by faith, even though the struggle is prevalent, even though the ups and downs are still there, to continue to worship God, continue to serve God, continue to trust God that he's going to deliver you and walk by faith. And that's what the first century church is continuing to teach to the 21st century church is, look how far God has brought you.
Right.
It's been a struggle, but you're still here. You're still standing on the promises of God. Won't God do it? Won't God? That's the theme for our church this year is, won't He do it? And you know, the songwriter said, yes, He will. And so when you look back over those things, walking by faith, trusting God to deliver you from whatever it is, sustain you through whatever it is, that should compel us and propel us to say, you know what, I know God's got this, and so I'm going to serve and worship God where I am in the midst of this, because I know that the trying of my faith is working patience, is working perfection in me, and that God knows what's best for me, and I can't run away from the problem. And so instead of trying to figure out how to run away or avoid the problem, is to serve God in this place, to worship God in the place where I am, where He has me currently. Sheila G.
Amen. And the thing that I like about this particular scripture where Stephen is telling the Pharisees and taking them back through that point in history and how, you know, you guys are all high and mighty now, but there was a point where our people were in bondage, and God brought us that bondage and made those the our masters our slaves. And that's why one of my things I like to talk about is when you're going through something is to pull on your past victories. All of us have had things, situations where we were in and we thought it was really bad. We thought it was really impossible. We thought we even been upset with the Lord saying, why me? Why am I going through this? But somehow, some way, God brought it through. The difference is some people, God will bring them through, and then they'll go right back out in there and have to keep going through. Whereas if you have that Christian walk, you'll go through, but it makes you stronger because you're smart enough to know that the devil's not going to just sit back and say, oh, you got through this. Well, now I'm not going to mess with you anymore. But he is going to continue to throw those things at you. But as you learn about God, as you trust in God, you get stronger, and you're better able to weather the storms. And one of the best ways, just as Steve is talking about here, is to go back, look back, see how God just turned things around for you, see how he'll make your enemy your footstool, see how that once you say, whatsoever state I am, I'm going to be content because I know that, Lord, you are with me always. I don't see you. I see you in the things that are going around me, but I don't visibly see you. But I see you, and I know your spirit with me. I see your actions, and I know that you're going to take me through. But we have to pull on those fast past victories sometimes when things are really tough. And what's interesting, I know we're going to go through this whole particular chapter, is Stephen broke it down to them to say, okay, I'm going to let you visibly see how far God has brought us, and you still don't want to worship him? What's wrong with you?
Amen. And Dr. G, the saints in the 21st century seem like they give up so easily. It's just like they let Satan just come in, and every wind, the doctrine, or they get emotional and the feelings get hurt, and then, you know, they just quit on God, and you know, they self-medicate, and they turn to this thing of the world and turn to that thing of the world, and again, we talked about that thing, your heart's got to be fixed and your mind's got to be made up. But to get them to realize that people, as long as you got people on this world, there's going to be disagreements, there's going to be, you know, people that don't get along or don't see eye to eye. But because you have disagreements, you don't see eye to eye, that shouldn't mean you should not give up on God. And, you know, last time we were together, you were saying that is that you know, people realize that they didn't leave the church, or they didn't leave the pastor or the people in the church, but they left God. And for them to understand that, you know, don't give up so easily. You know, you serve God, and God will get you through it. But it seems to me, Dr. G, that 21st century folk, they give up. You know, they give up real easy. Dr. G.
Well, you're right, and I mean, we're living among a people that we seem to forget real easily all that we go through in life, and what we go through is nothing compared to what our early forefathers and mothers went through and what they had to endure. But yet the key word there is faith. Their faith kept them going.
Amen.
And it appears that, you know, here in the 21st century, we've got a wishy-washy mm-hmm. kind of faith. You know, the longest things are going great. We're right there with the Lord. But let some trouble come or some problems, then, you know, the faith is a little questionable. You know, we seem to fall out of love with God, and we're more concerned about the problems. And it's important for us as leaders, you know, we have to continue to reinforce that, just like that song we used to sing, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. So we should never forget all that we have gone through and the fact that if it wasn't for our faith, we never would have made it this far.
That's right.
But people are just so easy, you know, we are so caught up in our own selves and our own emotions,
yeah.
you know. The Lord really is not in our hearts or our minds, except for Sunday when we come for that little bit of time, and then we're back out doing our own thing again. And it's a shame because God has been good. And when you remember just how good God has been to you, I mean, I think about it all the time. I was sitting here today thinking about listening to a commercial about St. Jude, and my mind went back to when Jess was first born and what they said that child couldn't do. And then fast forward, here she'll be 21
come
November. And then third year of college. Yeah, she's had her struggles, she's had her ups and downs, but by the grace of God, and her faith is what keeps her going. So, you know, we can never forget all that God has done. But if we live, we are people that just seems to forget. And the thing that really blows my mind, you know, a lot of these folk have children that have gone through things.
We just
throw it out the window. You know, we can't seem to stay on top of it, that if it had not been for the Lord,
us would be
where we are.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's why, you know, we always talk about my heart's fixed, my mind's made up, because I know where God has brought me. I know what he brought me through. And, you know, I talked to several people this week, you know, they reflected back about, you know, where God has brought us from, and you know, to go back to your ancestors and your grandparents and your great grandparents. They didn't have a whole lot, but they had God, and they kept God in the center of their life. And no, they weren't perfect, and yes, they made mistakes, and yes, they were hypocrites, and yes, they were liars, cheaters, and the whole thing, you know. But you know, they had trust in God, and God was a forgiving God, and they asked God for forgiveness. I think sometimes people think that, you know, because you're a person of faith or a person that believes in God or trusts in God, that you're perfect and you don't have problems, you don't fall down, and you don't sin. You know, that's just not reality. You know, and we talked earlier that we can't judge people. It's like, you know, we judge ourselves that we wouldn't be judged, but the thing is God knows us. He knows our frailties. He knows our shortcomings. But the thing is, if you continue to serve God, that word will find you out. And it'll convict you, and you'll ask for forgiveness, and you'll go back, and you'll get back up and get back in line, and God will clean you up. And you know, the Bible says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that's for Christians. And I think sometimes we get into a situation where we want to find fault with other people. We want to judge and we want to say, oh, see this and see this, and sort of to try to make ourselves feel better and put ourselves on a higher level. But the record declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we have to understand that even though people fall down, people have issues and struggle, God is still God. And he's still worthy to be praised. He's still worthy of being worshipped. And you know, this is where Stephen was. He was like, I'm not. I'm just telling you what the facts is, and that God is still good, and that God is still in control, and that God has brought us from a mighty long way. And so we don't come to this thing to serve man, but we come to this thing to serve God. It says we will serve God in this place. We will worship God in this place because God is worthy of service and worthy of praise. And, you know, he'll work out the issues and the isms and schisms that we have in the body and with each other. He has the ability to work it out, but we have to stay faithful and we have to stay humble to keep coming to him, to keep asking him to work it out and to be able to have the longevity to be able to stick with it and not give up so easily. Shiva G.
You know, that's what's so wonderful about God's grace is he knows that we are going to sin and come short. He knows that we're going to fall down. He knows that we're going to make mistakes. And his grace is what gives us what we – he gives us things that we don't deserve. His grace is sufficient. And but in order to receive that grace, you have to receive the Lord. And that's how we can allow ourselves to forgive ourselves when we've done something. You know, a lot of times we'll do stuff and we'll say to ourselves, you know, I shouldn't have flicked off like that. I shouldn't have got mad like that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done this. But if we go to God and confess it, his grace just wipes it clean, picks us back up, tells us to move forward. But as you grow in his grace, you won't continue mm-hmm. to do those things.
Right.
It may be something else that you'll trip and stumble, but you won't be mm-hmm. stuck. Stupid. You won't be stuck in that one place. You're going to go to that next level. You may fall in a different way, or you may do something in a different way, but at least you're growing in God's grace. And that's why we have to worship him. That's why we have to glorify him, because in worshiping him, that's letting God know that we know that we've sinned and come short of the glory, but I know how far you've brought me. I'm putting my trust in you, God. I know that what I did on yesterday, you've forgiven me for, because I've asked you to forgive me. And now I ask you to lead, God, direct my path and keep me on the straight and narrow. And when I stray, then you speak to me and help me to get back on that straight and narrow path. In order to do that, like you said, we have to continue to recall how God has blessed us, how he's brought us through, how he's blessed. You know, a lot of times, too, he can bless us by blessing somebody else.
Amen.
Like when you get blessed or when I get blessed. I remember when we were kids, mm-hmm. like when you were really sick, and now I see mm-hmm. how God has brought you and how, you know, you're able to help take care of my other way. And mm-hmm. it's just a blessing to me, you know. But some people within their own family, they're jealous of each other's
right.
gifts. And we need to spread that blessing. We need to take it in all of it. And that's why our churches need to be unified. You have so much backbiting and cliques and things that I've seen as a church. No, we're not doing that anymore, New Birth. God ran all those people out that wanted to be
mm-hmm.
pricky. We are one unified body, magnifying, glorifying God, because it's not about us. It's not about the pastor. It's all about God. And if we could all focus on God and focus on God's grace and focus on how far he's brought us, that's what makes the church powerful. And if we can get all the Christians together to see it that way
mm-hmm.
for one person, is one God, we could really make a huge difference in this world.
Amen. Amen, Dr. G.
Well, I agree with what Sheila is saying. And I go back and I think about, because I've preached from it too, if it had not been for the Lord on our side.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every so often I think it's important for Christians to just slow down, go back into the memory banks and think about where they used to be compared to where they are now. Know as a Christian, my life has been rough. I've had
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of ups and a whole lot of downs. But through
mm-hmm.
it all, I learned how to trust and depend on the Lord. And that's where the faith continues to grow. You know, you've said earlier that we have to have our hearts fixed and our minds made up. And once we experience those things and go through them, and we go through one, then you get to the point where you
mm-hmm,
get to
mm-hmm.
the level. You know, you've got to grow in the body of Christ. And as you grow, then you become more staunch of a believer,
right,
like Stephen was, that, you know, mm-hmm. nothing the devil does. I mean, I tell folks that these last couple of weeks on the job for me has been rough. The devil has been coming after me left and right. But
mm-hmm.
I continue to stand strong, and I let the church know, no, our lives as preachers are not perfect. We
mm-hmm.
get attacked, and the devil throws more at us because he knows that we can handle it. And it takes a lot more now to get
mm-hmm.
to us what it did before. So my thing is, I'm going to stand strong for the Lord. And what I'm finding out is that it's helping some of the younger people who are coming along to get that vibe. Had one young man who called on the prayer line last night and said when he woke up on Wednesday, he was excited because it was the prayer line night.
And those are
the kinds of things that I see. You know, we're making a difference, but we've got to show people that you can't just give up and run every time you go through something.
That's right.
And we've got to be bold enough to speak the truth to people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, that is what the enemy wants to try to take from us to be bold enough and speak the truth. He wants to try to cower us, to humiliate us, to get us to you know, constantly beat ourselves up or beat each other up. But
that's
when God will step in and God will let you know, hey, I made this promise, and you know, as bad as you might think it is, I can take what man meant for your bad.
That's
and turn
right.
it around for your good, and that's shouting stuff right there, you know,
because yes,
you know God knows the beginning and the end at the same time. I'm gonna say that again. I might say that a couple of times. God knows the beginning and the end at the same time. I'll say it one more time. God knows the beginning and the end at the same time. What does that mean? That means that God already knows the outcome before it even starts.
It's
you know, you can't, because God is infinite. We have a finite mind. God is infinite. So God already knows how the situation is going to start, and he already knows how the situation is going to end. That's why he can make a covenant with Abraham and say, you're going to be the father of many nations. Your seed is going to be like the sand on the shore. And Abraham didn't even have a child. He didn't have nobody. And God said, I know you're going to have this. And what God does is he comes in, he deals with our humanness, and he makes us a promise to say, hey, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and this is going to be the outcome. Just serve me, and it will come to pass. And so in verse 8, God's people were given a covenant, and they call it the covenant of circumcision, where they were cut up off a piece of the flesh of the male anatomy, and this was signifying the cutting away of sin of the heart, and you know, God, he's not concerned with the cutting away of the flesh, but this was an outward appearance of them lining up with God, you know, them being an example to the nations around the world that we are God's people. So they cut the flesh and said, we're lining up with God, signifying that we're no longer of the world, but we're different. There's something different about God's people. God has made a covenant with us. This is our outward expression. And so in verse 8, he said he gave them the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat 12 patriarchs. And so this is the beginning of God making a covenant with his people to let Abraham know that he was going to be the father of many nations, and how these 12 tribes came out of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God said, I'm the same God for Abraham, I'm the same God for Isaac, I'm the same God for Jacob. And through these 12 tribes came the tribe of Judah, who where Jesus came out of. And so we see that through these, you can go back to the beginning of the book of Matthew, Jesus came down through 42 generations, that same God that allowed the bloodline of Jesus to continue, that God's people weren't cut off, that even though they tried to kill all of the patriarchs, even though they tried to kill Joseph, even though they tried to kill Moses, even though they killed all the prophets, that the bloodline of Jesus through all of this was allowed him to be delivered and allowed him to become God's promise of a savior for his people. We see that all of this started with God saying, it's going to be rough, but I got a promise with you. I got a covenant with you. Even Jesus said, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And so this covenant that God makes is now a covenant where he wants our hearts to be people to move from sin. He wants our hearts to line up for him, not just a physical appearance in our flesh, but he wants us to be circumcised in our heart that, you know, we're in agreement, we're in a covenant with God through our hearts, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through our spirit. And so that promise is still coming and it's still flowing down to those who trust God and trust his son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. And that's our heart. Our heart has to be right with God. And you know, when God planted our church, the Heart of God Church, that's what God wanted. He wants our heart to be right with him. He wants our heart to be right with each other. And God said in that covenant that he's going to do his part and that he's going to be true to his word no matter what. And we look back, and this is what Stephen was saying to them. Look at the word of God. Look how God has kept his covenant. He came through Abraham. He came through Isaac. He came through Jacob. He came through the 12. He came through Joseph. He came through Moses. And you know, it's something to see the goodness of the Lord. And all of us can reflect back and say, wow, God kept his promise. He never promised that it was going to be easy. He never promised none of us it was going to be easy. But what he promised is that he would be with us. And when we look back over our lives, we can see that the Lord has been true to his covenant. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you're saying that, I think about when we go through our struggles, and I think about my own life when I've had tough times or when I've been in tough situations, and I knew there was nothing I could do but go through it. As a matter of fact, I think Ma preached a message one time about, you know, you just got to go through it to let the Holy Spirit get you through it. You can't go around it. You can't go over it. You got to go through it. But one of the things that I pray for when I'm in those situations is not so much, because like you said, God knows the beginning and the end of story. He knows what's going to go. He knows what our destiny is. It's up to us to choose whether or not we're going to follow his destiny, because he's not going to make us love him. But one of the things that as a Christian and I've grown and learned is that when I'm going through, my prayer to God is, number one, let your will be done, which is what Jesus said. You know, I don't want to die on this cross, but never, if you can let this cup pass from me, let it be. But nevertheless, thy will be done. So my prayer is that, you know, God, I'm going to let your will be done in it. And it's your will for me to go through this. But my biggest prayers now are give me peace and give me strength. Because if I ask, Lord, that's how you know he's with you always. You know, when he says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth, is when you ask him, give me peace, give me strength. When you ask God to hold me, that's when your faith kicks in. And when that faith kicks in, you can look the enemy right dead in the face and have that peace. Think about that in the scripture, because at the end of chapter 6, when Stephen is getting ready to do this dissertation, they said he has the face of an angel. And the reason why he had an angel, knowing that he was going to be stoned, knowing that he was going to be killed, is because God gave him that strength. His faith was dependent on him. I'm not asking for man to make me feel good, because one minute man will make you feel good, and the next minute they'll make you feel
bad. I know that's right.
God is consistent. So I always ask, give me peace, give me strength, give me the joy of the Lord. Then I can face it. I can deal with anything, everything. Even in the beginning of this chapter 7, it says, then the high priest asked Stephen, are these charges true? Now, he could have tried to defend himself and say, you know what? Yeah, I was talking about the Lord. Yeah, I was trying to convert people. But now that these people are coming up against me so that I won't get in trouble, you know, so I won't get stoned, so you won't kill me, never mind, I'm not going to worship and glorify God anymore. But what he does is he takes this opportunity to give a history lesson to say, okay, maybe devil, you're going to come at me. Maybe you're going to kick my butt. Maybe you're going to kill me. But I'm going to tell you about the goodness of the Lord. And that's what this chapter 7 is all about. He's like, okay, y'all captured me. You know you didn't capture me. You're trying to break me. But he had that peace. He had that strength. So he had the angel. He had the face of an angel. And he proceeded to break it down about the goodness of God. And that is what I do when that enemy comes up against me. I find something, some way, whether it's a song.
There you go.
Singing something, whether it's scripture. And it may not be the exact words, but the devil knows what I'm talking about. To give me that, Does it change the situation as far as what's coming up against me or what I have to go through? No. But does it help me go through and have peace of mind and be stronger? Yes, it does. And I really believe that by Stephen going through this history lesson to the Pharisees, mm-hmm. the chief priest, to say, when they ask, are these charges true? He's basically saying, do I believe in God? Yes, I do. And if you're going to kill me for it, okay. Before I do, let me give you this little history lesson as to why all of y'all need to believe in God.
Amen. Amen. And it is like we talked a couple Sundays ago, a couple Thursdays ago, that God is a promise keeper, and God keeps his promises. And so when we encourage ourselves and find those things to continue to trust God and walk by faith, God knows how much we can bear, and like you said, we have to choose to follow His plan, and sometimes the plan is not what we want, but it's what's needed, and
Amen.
And I think Dr. G, that's a challenge, a daily challenge that we have to say what is needed. You know, God said He will provide all of our needs, and in order for this covenant to go down through 42 generations, there had to be, unease or dysfunction in the family.
Man.
and sometimes we don't understand where how can even through the dysfunction in the family, or that this dysfunction in the relationship of people, how does God use that to provide what is needed? Oh my God! It's like, how does He take the misery and turn it into the misery ministry that will provide what is needed? There needed to be a vehicle for Jesus to be born, and it came through Abraham's seed, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through these 12 tribes, or 12 children, to produce the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And so in that, there was dysfunction in
Amen.
That family that produced Joseph, but God took Joseph to be able to provide the need of the people of God to grow and expand, to be able to become a great nation. But he used the dysfunction of the 12 to provide Joseph that will provide the need, take care of the need of the people. And that's why I say God knows the beginning from the end at the same time, because nobody wants dysfunction.
Uh-uh.
But the jealousy of these people in the family produce what was needed to be able to take care of the family. Dr. G, help me out here.
Well, you know, just sitting here, see, what people fail to realize, because God does know the beginning and the end, we want to know how it's going to end if we got to go through something. And we forget that the Lord tells us, my ways are not like your ways.
That's
and
right.
We just don't. We can't comprehend how God can use something that's bad and work it for the good. I mean, the Bible says all things work together for the good to them
that's
that
right.
love Him. And when you think about how He used Abraham, from Abraham all the way down to where Jesus had come, they had a rough time. It wasn't a bed of ease. Their faith had to be tested. And they had to be showed how good God was. They had to come to the understanding, you know what? God is doing something, and their faith had to be strengthened through each one. Abraham started off. Lord said, okay, I want you to go to a different country. Okay, well, I'm going. All right, he obeyed. But through his life on down and to where we are now, talking about what Stephen had to go through, you know, for a Christian, that's real. No, none of our lives have been easy. But through all the bad, God takes the bad and turns it into good.
Wow.
And then
when
He's ready, He'll reveal to us why we had to go through. And all we got to do is say, all right, Lord, I got you. Sheila sitting here juggling with me, getting ready to celebrate 25 years at new birth. I didn't understand why I had to go through all that hell in the beginning. But as we get to a point, getting ready to celebrate 25, now when I look back, I can understand why. I had to grow as a pastor. My faith had to be tested. The Lord wanted to show me that you can do this, but you got to stand on the word and you got to let your faith go shine through. Through all of that, he removed the troublemaker. Some he took home. Mm-hmm. He ran away. Now he's bringing folk that have the same right, and they're hungry so that we can train them. We don't always understand how God works, but if we learn how to just wait on him, and while we're waiting, Psalm said, then we will be all right.
Amen.
And this is the thing that you know, God makes a covenant. He's a promise keeper. He's not going to slack. He knows the beginning and the end at the same time. And even though Abraham didn't have any children, he went through that whole thing testing his faith with Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael. God said, no, it's going to be my way. And that's the thing is, Satan can try crazy stuff, and we can do dumb stuff, but God's going to have his way. It's going to turn out the way he wants us to do it. Or where his plan is. And we can go around Robin Hood Bond. We can wander in the wilderness for 40 years or whatever. But eventually, God is going to have his way. And he's going to get the glory. And so through the problems of Abraham, the problems of Isaac, the problem with Jacob, you know, the patriarch, these 12 folks that were jealous of Joseph. Joseph came on the scene. And in verse 9 it says, and the patriarchs moved with envy. And in other words, they were jealous of Joseph.
That's what's
his brother. NIV.
Into
Egypt. And this is the one, this is where we're going to end on tonight before we go to the phone. It says, in the King James, it said, but God was with him. In NIV, it said, but God was with him. And so in all of that dysfunction, in all of those issues, God was with him. And that's the thing that we have to understand, that you know, you're going to have ups and downs, families are going to, you know, fall out, you know, things are going to, you know, try your faith. But as long as God's with you, you can make it through.
That's right.
And everybody has a different cross to bear. All of us got to bear a cross. You know, the songwriter said that, you know, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? There is a cross for everyone, and there is a cross for me. And going through these situations, is all of us are bearing our cross. And some of them are different, but God knows how much you can bear.
Mm-hmm.
God knows how much we can bear. God knows how he has made us. He knows our makeup. He knows what we can go through. All of this is working out for his glory and for our good. And being sold into Egypt, nobody understood how these brothers and sisters would be so jealous and so uncaring and throw the fella into a pit and make up a lie and a scheme about some animal has eaten their brother and tell their father that, you know, he got eaten when they sold him because he told them that y'all going to serve me. So sometimes folks don't hear the truth. and then on top of that, once he got out the pit, get accused of molesting the leader, the Egyptian leader's wife, and she's chasing after him, and he's running away and getting put in jail and all of these things. God knew what was needed for his country and his bloodline to continue down. And so he allowed these people to go through these situations. So what was needed is a vehicle for the bloodline of Jesus Christ to continue through all these generations, to survive through famine, to survive through tough times, to be able to grow as a nation in Egypt, God knew what was needed, and so in order for to him provide what was needed, he had people along the way like you and I that had to go through stuff in faith to be able to continue to trust God. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's what makes you trust God. And you know that's why God allows those things to happen to us. You know, when you look at the situation with Joseph, his brothers were jealous because what he ended up speaking was the truth, because at the end that is what happened. But they just got all caught up in emotions. We always talk about emotions, because he had this coat and they were just the of color, and he told them that one day they would bow down to them. So they beat him up, threw him in the pit. But God still showed him favor, because they ended up selling him to the Egyptian as a slave. But God used him in his slavery to elevate him. So he ended up being elevated to the point where when they needed him, they were scared that he's gonna come back. But that's when he's like, "No, I'm not coming after you. I'm here to help you and my family. What you meant for evil, God did it good." And when you look at the beginning, it does look evil. They sold him into slavery, put blood on his coat, told the dad that he was killed, and went on about their business. So, yes, they meant it for evil. But like you said, God had a plan. And because Joseph had the faith to continue to trust God, even though he went through all that persecution, God then elevated him. And that's what we say about if you pull and stand on those past victories, you continue to trust God. Because if we had this easy life, if everything went well according to plan and we were happy all the time, we wouldn't give God the glory, because we wouldn't see the miracles in it. But when we go through it and you get through that thing and you know that it was nobody but God that brought you through, nobody but God brought you through because you chose to trust him. And that's the key. We have to choose to have faith. We have to choose to trust him. That's how we can get through. And then he gets the glory. We try too often, especially now in this, like you said, the 21st century church, is to give ourselves glory. And it's not. We're supposed to be servants. And everything we do, we're supposed to glorify God. But what man means for evil, God will turn it into good. But in order for you to see the good, you have to have faith. You have to trust him. You got to go through the process knowing that he's going to bring you through.
Amen. Amen. We got to go to the phone line. This thing is awesome. I just want to ask a question. In verse 9, it said, "But God was with them." And I'm just going to ask a question to our callers. Is God still with you? And how do you know? Is God still with you? And how do you know? We're going to go to the first caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I know God is still with me. Well, first of all, he gave me the promise that the Holy Spirit would always be with me and would be my comforter and would abide with me forever. And so as long as I love the Holy Spirit to be in charge and lead me and guide me, God is with me. And even when there are times when I overstep my boundaries and think I know more than God knows, the Holy Spirit knows, when he brings me to my senses and I repent, he still blesses me. He shows me grace and mercy. So I thank God for that. But, yes, God is. And one of the things that I see here is even in our churches, as well as in our families, it go to show us that we're going to face adversity and tribulations and trials. We're going to go through jealousy and envy, these type of things we go through, you know. And so a lot of times when we go through these things, you know, we want to retaliate back at people, you know, we want to go tap for tap. But we have to just wait on God and let God fix it. Because a lot of times the word person that end up being our enemy, sometimes it's a person that God allowed us to witness to, allowed us to help, you know, be encouragement to them. And sometimes it's vice versa. They are encouragement to us. So,
amen.
We have to just constantly pray and ask God to help us to, you know, when we had differences, to try to solve them, whether it be in the family or whether it be in churches or wherever we are. We have to ask God to help us. And are we going to agree on everything? No, we're not, because we are different. And like sisters and brothers had different personalities.
That's right.
And I'm quite sure Joseph probably was a little arrogant in some of the things he done. you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get, because we might be the favorite, or we might, you know, feel like we have a little more favor. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to irritate people. And so, you know, he could have very well been boastful, but that don't stop the fact that God was with him, okay?
Amen.
I'm quite sure he had to do some repentance, too, along the way.
Amen.
So that lets us know that we all sin and come short of the glory of God. And
Amen.
There's no perfect people. And I guess what I'm trying to say tonight, there are no perfect people. The church is
Amen.
Not perfect. We
Amen.
All make mistakes. We all get it wrong sometimes. But it's through the grace of God when we can repent and get it together and go to one another. If we need to go to one another, if we can get that thing right, then we can grow. The family can grow. The church can grow. The community can grow.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1487. 1487, y'all there?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Is God still with me, and how do I know? Yes, because I believe in him. I trust in him. I talk to him every morning and night, and he will lead and guide and direct my path. He lets me know. I know he's with me. And anything I do or say now, he'll calm me down and tell me what to do. And I do it his way now, because I'm living for him now. So I know he's going to help me on my way. Yes.
Amen.
I know that he's with me, and that's how I know he's with me, because I wait on him, I trust him, and I believe in him, and I believe in those scriptures, and I know that whatever he gives me is for my good, and I go from there. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. And go to the next caller. Last four digits, 3343. 3343. You are on the
edge. Good evening. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yes, sir. I know God. I shake myself and get nervous at times and think myself, because we read two weeks ago, we read the verse of 6 and 7, and I really got upset about the verse that I had made my mind up. I was going to do what I want to do. And the more I read the 6 and 7 and 8, the more I say, stop letting yourself get upset by trying to do what you cannot do. You have all the time has been in God's hand. Leave it to God. And, and that's what I'm trying to do. Leave it to God. I leave it to God, and I know I stand on him, and he stands on me. And I stop even conversation about it, because I know that he's going to take care of it. And I get upset about it, but I'm not going to do it. I keep and leave it to myself and hold it to myself and let God take care of it. And that's just all I can do.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. And thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1411. 1411, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I definitely know God is still with me. I see it every day. I'm constantly reminded of it every day. The crazy part is, even though I look back over my life, even though I realized then that I wasn't even thinking about it and I wasn't really trying to establish a relationship with God, even in the midst of all of that, he was still with me. You know, God has allowed me to go through some things that made me better. God has got me to the point that I'm at now, you know, been on this earth 38 years, and I'm still growing, I'm still hungry, and still trying to you know, still trying to grow in the body of Christ. You know, one of the things we talked about on the prayer service line the other day was just, you know, allowing God to utilize you. And even though you may feel like you're alone in the eyes of man, God is always going to continue to be with you. But, you know, we've got to learn to represent God. You know, it's just a Sheila stated that, you know, it's not about us. It's about God. And sometimes you are going to have to stand alone and stand on an island or kind of be different. And that's okay, because God is going to always be with you. But the courage and the strength and the reinforcement we have is knowing that, you know what, God is here. God is still with me. He's allowed me to do things. He's allowed me to understand, allow me to put the pieces together. And that's truly a blessing, because for me, once the light bulb went off, I just had, you know, an overwhelming amount of confidence, you know, in my faith walk and in my journey, and things didn't really bother me like they used to. So that's how I know God is still there. I've kind of tried him for myself, as some of the old folks used to say. I tried him for myself. I liked it. And I said, you know what? Now that God's there with me, it's up to me now to hold on to his hand and continue to hold on to his hand through good, through bad. It's all going to make me better, and try to keep a humble spirit. But yes, I'm aware that God is still with me, and he's always been with me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comments tonight. We go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7971. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Evening.
Good evening.
This is a good question. Is God still with you, and how do you know? God has allowed the kind of trials and tribulations to cross my path down through the years that has left a devastating impact on my life with him. And he's always brought me through.
Amen.
And when God brings you through, it puts an assurance in your heart that you can't doubt him, because you know too much about him.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know that he loves you. And if you stay close to him, you observe what he does, how he does it, you know that you know that you know. Because he keeps on blessing you.
Amen.
Over, as the song says, over and over again. And it makes you happy. It makes you feel good that when the chips are down and there's no one else around.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit lifts you up. You know who to turn to. Just like you go to your parents or your father. As my daughter said, I got two daddies. My daddy and my heavenly father. And when you go to your heavenly father, he satisfies all the woes. Not like you want them, but the way he knows it should be done. And when these things continue to happen in your spiritual walk, down through the years, you know that you know that you know that he's for real in your soul. He's so good, and he never changes. It's the same each time. And when you can have that assurance from his promises to you, it's a consolation that no one here on this earth can do. That's how you know. Nobody does it like Jesus. Nobody. And I just, he's my comforter. He's my everything. He's my everything. When things are good, when things are bad, you can always rely on that assurance that God is with me always.
Amen.
Always. And when you can rely on that and be honest and true to him, be true to yourself, be true to your lifestyle with Jesus, whether it's at home, whether it's in the streets, whether it's wherever it is, wherever you are in your environment, let you know who he is. He will put you in check.
Amen.
And if you're for real and you love him, you'll be obedient and follow him. He's so good to me. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to one more caller. Last four digits, 0817. 0817. You're on the air.
Hi, how's everybody doing tonight?
Hello.
That's good. I just coming in. The question was, can you repeat the question? I'm just tuning in.
Yes. Is God still with you, and how do you know?
Is God still with me, and how do I know? It's a good question. I kind of, lately really been going through the midst of things of life and trying to really figure out what's my purpose, because I keep hearing from a lot of different people and just, messages throughout life, and just keep coming back to the question. I keep asking myself, what's my purpose? And, I look over the gifts that I do have that God has blessed me with, and I continue to just try to, figure out why am I here on earth,
Mm-hmm.
And it's when I'm at my lowest, when I pray and I ask for light and for, to see a different, to see a different perspective, how I usually would look at things. And, I swear it's just like the next day I get like a message, and I'm like,
amen.
There's no way.
Amen.
There's no way that it cannot be, our Lord. Because, it's been times where I really just wanted to give up, and I had
mm-hmm.
harsh thoughts in my mind, but I just prayed that, those evil thoughts to get out of my life, and
mm-hmm.
the people around me get out of my life, and literally doors started to open once I truly just gave myself to the Lord, and I saw that, hands on, and, I'm big now with, big prayers and not just small prayers, because our God, he can do it all if we give it to him. So,
amen.
Not minimizing my prayers and just, writing down what the things that, I want to see in my life, in my family life, and what I want to see in this world. So when I do those things and I pray and I talk and I, come to the Bible study and everything, I'm realizing that, I'm not doing this on my own. I just want to give it to God. So that's how I know he's still in my life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G., it's been a good night, good word. Any last comments, and you can close us out and pray?
Actually, I just think it's a blessing that everything that we've talked about tonight and how we can go through things just as Stephen did. But as long as we just continue to focus on the Lord, we recognize the enemy is going to jump up in our face, but we know that God has our back. And I ask that we just, that we all, it seems like on the call tonight, everybody recognizes that. So Satan just needs to get back and be ready for it, that whatever you can hit us with your best shot, but we're just going to trust in the Lord because God has our back. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for allowing us to see another Bible study, Lord, to learn your lesson and learn about your word, scripture by scripture, step by step. Now, Father, I pray that you help each and every one of us to apply it to our lives. I pray, Father, that you will carry us throughout this week so that we don't have so much confidence in man, but we have confidence mm-hmm. in you, Lord. Recognizing that we are a weaker vessel, but we lean and depend on you that you can bring us through. Lord, we thank you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.